This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
About it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
Buy or sell time, Michael Kirkpatrick.
Sell.
Big topic of discussion has been the border war. Buy or sell, CSU and Wyoming will get something done in 2027. They got 2026 taken care of, and then it resumes in 2028. Is there going to be a gap year? Which maybe we can live with, but do you think both sides will come together and get something done so that you have no break in the chain of the border war?
This is a moneymaker. This is a moneymaker. It's going through the roof. Buy it. Put your savings into it.
What are you, like one of those Wall Street personalities now?
Yes, I am.
Now I'm buying it. I think they get it done. Now, Cody said, I'm a little surprised they didn't announce both right now because they can do it. But they haven't yet, so we'll see.
They have to figure out which teams to kick out of the schedule.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the compromise is the fact that CSU is going to be going to Wyoming a couple times in that final stretch, so they were able to make it work this time around. I think Wyoming fans are just happy to keep it going. Buy or sell, the Colorado Buffaloes, well, more of a record. They are 2-2 right now. Will they be, in the next three games, will they be 2-5? 3-4? 4-3, or will they be 5-2? BYU, TCU, Iowa State. Give me their record after the next three games. They're 2-2 right now. Will they be 2-5?
I don't want Buffs fans to be angry with
they
me.
Will be 2-5.
I'm gonna buy that.
Take it from a pro. I get Buffs fans mad at me on a regular basis. For some silly reasons. But they won't win these games. They're just not there. I am all in on Caden Salter. I like him. I think he's fun to watch. The Buffs aren't there yet. They're just not there. Okay, buy or sell. Michael, let's do a little exercise.
I don't like exercise.
Of course you don't. And it shows. Pro Football Focus saying that Bo Nix is rated as the worst quarterback among starters in the NFL right now.
So,
would you take him over Justin Herbert?
Yes.
No. Would you take him over Geno Smith?
Absolutely. Geno's playing, definitely over Geno.
Geno's playing well. I mean, he had bad picks the other day, or 2 weeks ago, but would you take him over Daniel Jones today? No.
Look, my bias is
okay,
getting
in the way. Okay, I'm not going to ask you. Yes. Daniel Jones today over Bo Nix. I like Daniel Jones. I think he needed a change of environment, and he got it. Dak Prescott or Bo Nix?
Oh, Bo Nix.
Probably. Drake May or Bo Nix?
Bo Nix.
I'm going to go Bo Nix there, too. Russell Wilson or Bo... I'm just going to the guys that are rated above him.
I would take Drake. The hippity-hoppity Drake.
Jackson
over,
Dart over Bo Nix.
No, I was going to say over... Our old quarterback.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Jared Goff over Bo Nix. Jared Goff. He can complete those. You saw what he did. You saw what he can do. Josh Allen.
I think he was awful. Now I think he's gawful. And I truly thought, like, as a Pac-12 guy, I truly was like, this guy's overrated. Then he gets to the Lions, and I'm like, oh, I was wrong the entire
time. Yeah, he was, like,
time.
Okay with the Rams, and then with the Lions, he's been much better. He's got a lot of weapons, though, and they run the ball well, and Dan Campbell fostered quite the environment for him. Josh Allen or Bo Nix? Come on, Mike.
The
Josh
bias.
Allen. Matt Stafford.
He'll improve.
Matt Stafford. But you're talking a future Hall of Famer, Josh Allen. You would not take Josh Allen over Bo Nix today if that could happen.
Over future Hall of Famer Bo Nix?
You are just blinded.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford, I would take Bo Nix. Lamar Jackson, no need to ask the question, obviously.
Me to Bo Nix to the current Bronco is you to Lamar Jackson.
No, I'm just a logical person. I picked several quarterbacks over Bo Nix right now. That's the way it stands. Caleb Williams over Bo Nix. I would take Bo Nix.
Yeah, Caleb Williams. We need to see some more from Caleb Williams.
Trevor Lawrence or Bo Nix. I would take Bo Nix. Patrick Mahomes or Bo Nix. I would take Patrick Mahomes. Sam Darnold, who's playing some really good football, over Bo Nix. I'm still taking Bo Nix. Not sure how long it's going to last for Darnold. Jordan Love or Bo Nix? Bo Nix. Spencer Rattler or Bo? Bo. Joe Flacco or Bo? Bo. Baker Mayfield or Bo Nix? Come on.
Personality-wise?
No. We're not talking about...
Personality-wise, I would take Baker Mayfield. Because he's just fun.
We're talking about the play on the football field. In order to get to your undefeated season that you dream of every day, all day, you would need a better quarterback on the field. And I would take Baker Mayfield.
Look, he's going to get better this week.
Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix? Bo Nix.
Oh, yeah. I said before the season I like Michael Penix Jr.
He's not good.
But I would take Bo Nix in this offense.
Bryce Young or Bo? Bryce played well last week. Bo Nix. C.J. Stroud or Bo Nix? I'm taking Bo. Aaron Rodgers or Bo Nix?
Bo.
Yeah. Tua. Tagovailoa.
I still feel really bad for him.
Bo.
And wish he would wear like a double helmet thing to protect himself.
Mac Jones or Bo Nix? Bo Nix. Kyler Murray or Bo Nix? Bo. Cam Ward or Bo Nix? I really like Cam Ward. I think he's good. Today, probably Cam Ward. I think he's going to be really good for Tennessee. Jalen Hurts or Bo. But see, Bo's, Jalen Hurts has kind of struggled. You know, his QBR, I guess you could say, has been in the, what is it, in the 70s? His rating, I guess. I mean, he's down the list. I'm not going in a particular order here, but he's not. I think Jalen Hurts is top 10, but he's down the list. I'm just throwing out all the starters that I can think of. Jaden Daniels or Bo? Bo, I believe. Yeah, JJ McCarthy or Bo Nix? JJ's out. Bo Nix. I'm still taking Bo over more than half of the league. So I think these numbers are just numbers right now. Bo's still a fine quarterback.
How do Vikings fans feel about their first-round draft pick right now?
I think they feel like Carson Wentz should be the starter for the rest of the season right now, I would imagine. Because that he has played one good quarter of football against the Bears. Now he's hurt. I think they would like to see Carson Wentz. Big hub on this. Yeah, the Deion stuff. I ran by something on Fox. Maybe you touched on this when a reporter asked Deion how he felt about fans leaving early. He said he was fine with it because that means the game is handled. I thought he had a problem with it before. I don't remember that. I kind of thought that too when I heard him say that, but I don't recall exactly that moment. But Coach Prime's had a lot of things to say, Mike.
I have a problem with fans leaving early. I don't like that.
What if it's a blowout?
I'm sitting there watching it and in anger the entire time. Unless it's my team blowing out the other team, then I'm watching it in pure joy.
I don't like to tell fans how to fan. I mean, if you want to get home early because it's a blowout. Now, I do have a problem if it's a close game and you're leaving. Although the UTSA-CSU game was close, but that was bad football.
I remember when Nebraska was getting blown out in Lincoln by Oklahoma State, and a bunch of fans were making their way to the exit like right before half, and that was hilarious.
I've left games early before. But usually, 99% of the time, it was because it was an absolute blowout.
For me, I've left games before because the person driving was like, let's leave.
Yeah. You want to beat traffic. Traffic's brutal out there, Mike. It's brutal out there.
Yeah.
Got to be safe.
And also, we wanted to catch the second NFL game.
16 minutes after the hour, Sean Keeler coming up, talking all things Jay Norvell, saying Jay Norvell is his own worst enemy. What does he mean exactly? We'll talk to Sean Keeler coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKN.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310kfka.
Is Jay Norvell his own worst enemy? Sean Keeler seems to think so, or at least he's becoming that. In the Denver Post today, CSU Rams coach Jay Norvell is becoming his own worst enemy in FOCO. Sean Keeler, how about that, huh? How about that for an introduction for you?
It's not killing me softly.
I know, we have to bend the rules.
I'm not the one killing myself. I'm going to keep going back at you on that, my friend. Good afternoon. Yeah. You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, or was it 3 weeks ago? We're like, boy, you got a big homestand coming up with these three games.
Yeah.
It's not great. Not great, Bob. Not great.
No, not great. Sean, I was at that game, and I respect so much about the communications crew. You know, being able to go to press box is such an honor. It's a luxury. It's so cool. But I wanted to be on my couch, being able to flip back and forth. You know, honestly, the parts of the Wyoming Buffs game were more interesting than this.
Having been at the Wyoming Buffs game, yeah, parts. Wyoming was like watching a little bit like watching my alma mater, the Mighty Northwestern Wildcats, and that's not a compliment. But they're scrappy. They're not quick. The Buffs could outrun them all day long, and they did. So I don't know how sexy that was, but you know, a funny thing, we're sitting in Boulder, you know, kind of watching from afar, and some people had the game on the computers, and some people had the score bug up, and we're like, God dang, those Rams did it again. They've got the most interesting game of the most exciting end of the day.
Yeah.
Yet again, for a second week in a row. You know what? It wouldn't shock me if that's the case this weekend, too, because as I know you're going, there's a lot at stake. I think there's a lot riding on this one.
Do you think, like, when you say a lot at stake, if they lose to Washington State, who doesn't seem to be very good, like, is that it for Jay Norvell?
It might be. I get a lot of buzz on kind of both sides of that argument. I think they're going to win, frankly, full disclosure. And I'm not, again, rooting for Jay and his staff to run into any trouble. I think that there's a lot of support internally from John Weber, but I think he's getting a lot of pressure externally. I think there's some real tug of war going on. That's making everybody a little uncomfortable, that these other two games would have made more comfortable, you would have thought, in theory. I kind of thought of these two coming up, or rather between UTSA and Wazoo, was probably going to be a split either way. But yeah, I think you've got some real serious discussions that have been going and ongoing, and it's not helped by the fact that the biggest elephant in the room has never left, and that is you've got a major group of five coach who's only got, am I doing the math right, a year, 16 months left on his contract, 14 months, and doesn't have an extension, and still doesn't. And I would say in 90%, certainly in Power 4 programs, you're not dangling like that unless you've got some serious internal political doubt, right? Like, that coach and that agent are telling you, I cannot recruit with a year out. You've got to give me 2 years out. You've got to give me at least 18 months. You've got to give me some assurance, or I can't recruit off this.
That's a great point.
And they have been, to their credit. The Rams have been, and Jay have been. But now we're into the season, and we're coming on the, whatever it is, 14, 15-month countdown to the end of this contract. And people are going to use that, and they have used that. And I think the fact that and I'll say this, and it'll email will pop up any minute, that there's an extension signed, the problem solved. Ha-ha! But the fact that it's been as quiet as it's been, at least externally, on that front, we've asked John Weber about it. Others have asked John Weber about it. It isn't telling in a great way, and I hope there's some resolution one way or another, because when you combine a kind of indifferent, to that's maybe a kind adjective, start with the fact that you're coming to a year of that contract being out, I don't – boy, it's hard not to do the math on that one, right? I mean, I don't want to do that kind of math, but if you were looking at this any other place, you'd be like, boy, that coach might be in trouble.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, you said it like, hey, could we be surprised and see an extension pop up? I think at this stage, fans, because it does seem like most of the fans, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but what I've seen have certainly turned on Jay Norvell at this stage. And that game against UTSA, yeah, they were excited to see Jackson Brissot get in, and then he performed, but then it goes to what took you so long? So it was kind of a lose-lose situation for Jay, waiting that long to put him in.
Right, right. And I mentioned that in the column that's up today at DenverPost.com. And then you have this moment of euphoria. And I think you and I agree on the extra point decision, and certain, Kevin Lytle does not. That's fine. It's free. As far as we know, Jimmy Kimmel told me last night it's a free country. So I'm guessing for now this week it's still a free country. We could disagree. And it's sports, and that's fine. But, yeah, when you then find a hot hand, a little late, but you get there. Good. That's progress. And then you tie it up. You take the point off, and then you take the hot hand out.
Yeah, what are we doing? Sean, the play was like, okay, Taj Bullock's in, but then as soon as he snaps the ball, he rolls to the right. You've cut off an entire half of the field, too. So many things wrong with that.
You do the Bill Walsh sprint right option with a guy who hasn't completed a pass all year and is coming in cold. When you've got a hot quarterback that you've got moving already, it just, we're not rooting against his staff and this administration, but let's put it this way. Here's the thing, and I think you, I apologize if you mentioned this in your editorial, because I did see your feed. I do read what you write.
Thank you, Sean. You and my mom.
You and my mom. Yeah, that's right. It's more than what I can say for mine. No, but when... Here's the thing, and I thought about this Monday, and I asked Jay about this. They're like, who asked Jay at the end of the news conference if he still felt better about that call? I did, because I was curious, genuinely curious, because I watched the film. And at that time, and I remember saying this to Tyler King of Gazette, I said, we're always geniuses the day after. We're super geniuses 48 hours after and what have you. But when that call still feels risky, even if it works, it's not a good call. When you're still like, boy, I don't know that you should have done that. It's the wrong call. And you say, well, if it had worked, you would have said it was the right call. No, I don't care. I don't like taking points off the board.
Same. Yep.
You don't do that. And you can say, it's cliche. It's what it is. No, because I think you're also sending a vote of no confidence to your defense, and you're sending a vote of no confidence to Brissot. I think there are a lot of reasons why you don't do that there, and you need, which gets back to the point of what we're talking about, yeah, you need to win. Jay Norvell is trying to win. He's not trying to win. but not there, not at that moment in that way. And maybe they'll turn it all around and pull a close one out this weekend, and all's well and good, and you've got another bowl team. I think that's still possible and still in the cards, but doubt is a hard virus to stamp, and dissent is a hard virus to stamp down. And they're dealing with both, and I hope they can get it turned around, and they probably need to because it's getting worse.
Yeah, well, and like I said, even with the quarterback change, it's one of those like double-edged swords. If Jackson Brissot comes out and he's just, let's just say he's ripping it up and the Rams win big, then you're going to have the fan base like, why did it take Jay Norvell so long to evaluate who should really be the starting quarterback?
Yeah, it's a darned if you do, darned if you don't, and much stronger language than that. And that's not necessarily fair, although you could make that argument about the UTSC game, because at least they pulled out the UNC one. Would it have changed Washington? No, I probably wouldn't have. But yeah, I think you have to get there, and I think the good news is there's at least time going forward that if Brissot is all that and is at least baseline decent to run what you've got to run, then you've got to do that. Because again, I think, I don't know, it's weird to me, because we go back to the point about, well, he's 15 months out from, and here's, you know, maybe we should do the math on this. Jay Norvell is not coaching like he's 15 months out from the end of the contract, if that makes sense. Like, there isn't as much of a desperation other than maybe that last play. And maybe that was it. You know, maybe a guy who has a contract extension doesn't make that call, if you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't feel like, boy, I've got
that's
to
a
do
good
this
point
right here. But that could also be because the best player on the field was not your player. It was the UTSC tailback. Is, geez, he's a new Genty. Like, you're like, I don't know if I can stop this guy. And his defense, that's an NFL tailback. So I get it in the moment, and we have to react to the heat of the moment. And again, we're all wiser in hindsight. But I'll just go back to my first paragraph in the column that's up today, and that is, boy, they're throwing a lot of stuff against the wall, aren't they? And I don't know how much of it is sticking. And that's the problem, is you've got to get stuff that sticks. And hopefully this weekend, maybe they do.
Yeah, this whole thing has been a fascinating turn of events. I mean, going back to Jay Norvell's comments about BFN and letting us in on the secrets of the trade with what was allegedly going down with K-State and BFN and the $600,000. You know, and I think you and I've even talked about it. Like, what if that bites him in the butt? And I think it has at this point. I don't know how many people actually look back at that and think about that, but that's certainly part of a shtick surrounding Jay Norvell and his quarterback.
Yeah, and he went to bat for Braden, and he, you know, he rode that pony, and the legs aren't working anymore on that thing. I don't know. I've heard different things about why Braden is where he is, and you certainly want the young man to be right in all facets of his life. And that's the most important thing. Again, perspective. Let's take the broad view of this. That Braden the person is the most important thing, and you have to respect that. But again, contract. You know, I think there has to be a limited window of forgiveness that way, especially when that young man is making you look bad. To your point, he just is. And his lack of development and his inconsistency is not making you look very good at your job.
Yeah.
In any function. So.
No question, Sean. We'll see what happens against Washington State this weekend. And then we start conference play. And, you know, if they can survive Washington State, it's a conference that feels a little bit open, but it also feels like Boise State's about ready to find their footing. And then you have some surprise teams, too. I mean, I think Air Force, if they can just stop like three more times in games, they could actually win some games. We might see some of those teams in the Mountain West that we thought would be good start to round out, too. So it's a very sensitive time right now for Colorado State.
Yeah, and Utah State's.
Yes, yeah. How could I forget that? Yeah,
Utah State. That's a place where you're like, where did they come from? So again, it's certainly enough that nothing is off the table, but I don't think you want to be going into that league 1-3. I think that's not where you want to be, and I think the temperature is not at a great place for anybody in CSU athletics or CSU football if you have to answer to your fan base ultimately why you're 1-3. And we haven't seen it yet. I'll be very curious about the turnout. If you're looking for a sign about where things are going with the Rams besides the result, which is the most important thing, obviously, is look at the crowds. If it's Daz level, 30% empty seats, 40% empty seats, which I don't think it will be, look out, because that's compounding problems you've already got.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the turnout looks like for sure. Sean, appreciate you as always. Very interesting read, as always, and we'll see what you come up with next week.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. See you.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. I mean, I don't see any surprise contract extension popping up. Let's read a text. 303 says, you would absolutely think the CSU fan base has turned on Norvell if you take the temperature on Twitter and RamNation.com, but for being honest, that's the absolute loudest and worst of the CSU fan base. There are plenty of fans that are and will be supportive if they stack wins going forward. Well, that's the thing, though. Those loud fans don't think those wins are coming. Not that they know, but you can't look at what's happened right now. And it is kind of like last year, I suppose, but you beat UNC by multiple scores last year. That was different.
But also UNC was different.
Yeah, that's true. So are you saying CSU's not as bad as we're kind of feeling like they might be on this Wednesday, September 24th?
No, I think last year's CSU team would have beaten UNC by at least a score, a legitimate score.
So you think UNC is just that much better?
I think UNC is that much better, and I think CSU is worse. I think the game would not have come down to the final play if it was this year's UNC team and last year's CSU team.
Everything starts with the quarterback, and clearly Braden Fowler-Nicolosi is worse than he was last year.
And he's having a bad year.
And he wasn't necessarily great last year. They found ways to win against a weak, weird, strange schedule in the Mount West. And don't know that that is going to be the case as we get there. But it'd sure be nice to have two wins. And then you'd need to find a way to win four games in the Mount West to get to a bowl. But I don't know if that's enough. I don't think it is.
I agree with a lot of the fans on Twitter. I don't think the wins are necessarily going to come. But also, I'm not going to be too loudmouth about it. Like, if I'm going to be loudmouth, I'm going to be loudmouth because I want to make a joke. But look, if the wins come, keep the man. But if they don't, they might have to fire him at the end of the season, not in the middle.
Mm. Well, if you fire him in the middle, then you could set that interview up with Mike Gundy. Right?
You could.
Can you? I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe,
since
I don't know.
He's fired and you would move on from your coach, can you then? I don't know the rules on that.
Well,
could
you
start
you could
that
send,
process?
You could send a scout and accidentally run into Mike Gundy at
like a coffee
McDonald's
shop. Like,
oh, hey, Mike Gundy! Oh, I work for CSU. Surprise! I was just looking at someone here in Oklahoma.
Tongue in cheek, everybody. 38 minutes after the hour. I know it's Wednesday. I'm off tomorrow, so we have the Thursday night special coming up. We have we're going to give you that pick now. I need to go 3-1, Michael. I need to get this one because we don't want to go back to 500. We want to start pulling away. We stumbled a little bit last week, and now we look to regroup. Who do I like between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks tonight on Thursday, or tomorrow night on Thursday night's football? Mr. Thursday Night returns for a very rare Wednesday night selection. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place. after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Thursday night. It's Brady Hall. Brady Hall was wrong last week. Wrong last week. He needs a win. Needs a win. The Hawks or Cards? Hawks or Cards? Birds aren't real. Birds aren't real. Now it's time for the pick. Here is Brady He's Brady Hall Mr. Thursday night It's Mr. Thursday night.
Oh, well done. Now you're going to have that song stuck in your head. This version, that was pretty good, Mike.
Told you you'd hate him.
No, I love it. Called me out for losing last week. You got to keep Mr. Thursday Night honest.
I know, but like that song's going to get stuck in your head.
Oh, it was amazing. Well done. Brian Gary, everybody. Susan and Cheryl love Brian. Stay away from him, please. He's married. Stop. Like, leave that room when he's in there. It's really awkward when he comes in the morning and they're just, you know, they had a rough night and they're still in there. The Seattle Seahawks taking on the Arizona Cardinals tonight. Or tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, Mike! I'm not here tomorrow, so I'm making the pick now. The Seahawks are a 1.5-point favorite over the Cardinals. But the Cardinals don't have Torrey Horton. But the Seahawks don't have Trey McBride. Oh, wow. A CSU conundrum. And I'm a CSU fan. Torrey Horton or Trey McBride? Who would you rather have? Torrey Horton or Trey McBride, if you could pick? Because Horton's coming on strong, Mike. But I'm a sucker for tight ends that can catch a lot of footballs. So I'm going to go Trey. That's not the pick. Yeah, I know, right? Faith says definitely sticking in my head now. Kudos to this not being the same song every week, but making new ones. Take that, Carrie Underwood. Yeah, Brian's way better than Carrie Underwood.
Friday night, it's time for a fight. The team go.
What?
That's the song. That's the song she sings.
Friday night?
Oh, sorry.
She does Sunday night.
Sunday night. I'm used to...
Wow.
We have a
it's
Kansas
waiting
clash
all day
this week.
For Sunday night. Is that what she does? No, is that... Yeah, I thought... I don't...
No, country music's all the same.
It's all the same. Sam Darnold, Michael. Sam Darnold. And Kyler Murray. The battle. Can Darnold keep it going? You know, that's what's really fascinating about, you know, what his career has been. He's been the highest of highs, the lowest of lows. Now he seems to have found his footing, even after the Minnesota stuff. I mean, they smoked New Orleans. They should, right? 44-13, but they also beat Pittsburgh 31-17. Cardinals. I know I got to make the pick. The Cardinals. I just don't buy the Cardinals, Mike. Give me the Seahawks to cover the -1.5. I like Seattle in this one. The budget's that low. We couldn't make any clip for the Seahawks pick today. It was just you turning that music on and screaming like a bird into the microphone.
Yeah, I wanted to hear Yakety Sax today.
The show has fallen. This is an award-winning show. It's a show that's won a lot of awards. A lot of respect throughout Northern Colorado.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What did we learn today? Apparently the junior varsity decided to step in and take over for the varsity this evening or this afternoon.
I also wanted to hear Beck.
Okay. Well, we don't have the normal What Did We Learn segment there, so thanks, Mike. Thanks for that. Appreciate that. Good job. Production value is really like taking a turn down, you know, the last couple of days. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. What did we learn? No, I will not stop about Mike Gundy. Texter says, please stop, drop the Mike Gundy talk. Never. We'll never do that. We learned that Bo Nix isn't that bad. He's not that good. But right now, he's not that bad. And Hank Gibbs. Great chat by him. We also learned that the border war is happening next year. So that's exciting. I'll be back at it, I think, on a Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.